Good evening. It's good to see each one of you tonight. I'll ask us to turn in our Bibles once again to the book of Ephesians, the epistle of the Ephesians, chapter 5. And we began looking last week in our study at the thought of be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get into the Word tonight. Father, we thank you, we praise you for the blessings that you give us in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all those things that you give to us, Lord, as a proof of his abiding presence within each one of us. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you give us. Lord, I do pray and do ask with the songwriter of that great hymn, Lord, give grace to trust you more. Lord, give grace to believe you for great and mighty things. Father, I pray tonight that you'll make your word clear. I know that during the course of this week and this day, my mind has gone over and over and over these things. And Lord, I pray that I'll be able to give something to this congregation that will help them tonight, that will bless them, and that will cause them, Father, to have a clear perspective on what it is that you're saying to us through your word. Speak to us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I will have to be the first to tell you that when it comes to this subject of be filled with the Spirit, I'm not an expert. In fact, I don't know anybody that is an expert on this. As our pastor has said many times, there's really no such thing as a Bible expert. We study, we apply ourselves, we diligently study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed. But ever arriving at a place where we say I'm an expert, that I know what there is to know about it, and I can tell it with absolute clarity, I don't know that any of us are ever going to get to that place. The things that I want to share with you and have shared with you last week and Lord willing in the weeks to come with regard to this subject are the things that I believe the Lord has made plain to me, because this In my mind has been something that has interested me for a long time, not just a hobby, but an interest, because I want to know what the Lord has to say about this. And you and I both know that that if you ask someone for the definition of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, there are going to be a myriad of different answers that are going to be given based on perspective, based on things that have been given. And many times those answers are the result of perhaps a mismatch of fact with what the Scripture says versus what someone has experienced. And let me just be very upfront about this. We must never judge the Scriptures in light of our experience. We must always rather take the measuring rod of the Scriptures and measure our experiences by them. And so when someone says, you know, I experience what it means to be filled with the Spirit and this and this and this is what happened, etc., you know, we sometimes, and I think we're wise to do this, we have to just say, well, that's your experience and I can't monkey with your experience, so to speak, but let me just tell you what the Scripture says. Because when we get the Scriptures, then we don't go wrong. We don't veer off course. And a lot of times, errors in our thinking have come up because we have failed to take the Scriptures. What saith the Scripture? What saith the Word of God? Measure those experiences up against the Word of God. And then you will know whether or not they fit the pattern of Scripture. And so tonight, what I want to do is to take this verse of Scripture. In fact, let's read that verse right now. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start with verse 17, read to verse 19. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, last week, our primary focus was to put this verse of Scripture into the context of both the chapter that it is written in and the epistle that it is written in. And I believe that we found some things to be very clear in the context of the chapter and in the context of the epistle. And I believe if nothing else, one thing should be absolutely crystal clear to you. That in the book of Ephesians, as I told you, the book seems to be naturally divided up with the thoughts of where we are seated in Christ, chapters 1 through 3, our walk of faith in Christ and in obedience to Christ, chapters 3 through about chapter 5 and verse 9, and then our stand against the powers of the enemy, our stand in Christ. We stand up for righteousness and against the powers of darkness. This particular verse falls right in the middle of that section on our Christian walk. That tells me that this command to be filled with the Spirit is a part of our daily walk in Christ. It is a part of what we're supposed to be doing and a part of how we're supposed to be living. We won't go through it all again tonight, but beginning in chapter 4 and verse 1, the apostle, after he has laid the foundations of our faith, he picks up in chapter 4 and verse 1 and begins to tell us about practical Christian living. That is the day-to-day life of the believer. You see, a lot of times we want, if I can borrow a phrase from the world for just a second, we want to talk about pie in the sky by and by and all the wonderful what we would say mystical things about life. But when it comes to living the Christian life, when it comes to our Christian walk, it comes down to that putting one foot in front of the other, living daily for the glory of God. It comes to that, to the simple and the mundane things, if you will, of life. How are you living your life? You see, God has not called us to pursue greatness, but He's called us to simply be what we are supposed to be in this world, living to the glory of God. And that applies to all of us across the board, whatever our station of life is, whatever our employment of life is, whatever occupation we have, we can live in and walk in the Spirit of God. And we're told to do so. In our lives and in the living of our lives, we are to live for the glory of God. Whether we are spreading caulking on the siding of a house like we were doing today, whether you're driving a truck, whether you're working at Walmart, whether you're working at the cancer hospital, whether you're cutting trees, whether at the bank, on and on we can go. We are called to live in our place of life where God has put us and live and walk in and be filled with the Holy Spirit in the doing of that thing that we do every day. This is not just a verse of Scripture that speaks to preachers and Christian missionaries and Christian workers, because you and I, no matter what the occupation of life that we are in, we are to be being filled with the Spirit. We are walking in the Spirit. We are doing the work of God, whatever it is. As long as the job that you have is right, there's nothing immoral, ungodly, or fattening about it. And I throw that in jokingly. We are to be living where we live for the glory of God. That's a part of our practical daily life. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all how? To the glory of God. You can spread caulking to the glory of God. You can deliver FedEx packages to the glory of God. You can be a mom to the glory of God. High calling right there, as a matter of fact. One of the highest that God's ever given is to be a mother and raise children for the glory of God. And like I think it was it Abraham Lincoln that said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that's certainly true. You have an influence on your children day by day. So you and I have to live the practical things of life, the mundane things of life, with a view to the fact that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Ghost dwells within us. And that gives us the urge and the push to live a life of excellence wherever we are and in whatever it is that we do. If we are doing all to the glory of God, if we are living in the Spirit, then we are doing all to the glory of God. Whatever it is that we put our hand to do, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's the very practical thing. You see how practical this is? And in this exhortation, this injunction that he gives us here to be filled with the Spirit, it's just that practical. It's just that practical. And we saw the evidence of it last week in the fact that as we live our daily lives, we're to be fearing God and eschewing evil, like old Job back there in the Old Testament. Shunning evil, living away from evil. You see, there was a pattern of life that we used to live in. In fact, if you looked in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul has already made that very clear, that you and I used to live a certain way. Look at that, the first couple of verses there. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time, verse 2 says, in time past, when you walked according to the course of this world. I walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. See, there's a line there where things changed. And we, if I can use Paul's words in Romans, Paul talks about the fact that we used to live a flesh man life. You see, when you find in the book of Romans, and sometimes you find this misrepresented, when it talks about life in the flesh versus life in the spirit, that's not talking about the life in the flesh being the carnal Christian and the life in the spirit being the more spiritual Christian. No, the line is conversion, salvation. When you and I believed upon Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God entered into us. When we stepped out of the life of the flesh, we stepped into life in the Spirit. That's where the line is. So it's not a matter of our becoming more spiritual. We all ought to want to be more spiritual, and we strive to know God more and to live more to His glory and honor. But the line of change took place at the point where Christ entered in and took us out of that one realm that we used to live in. That's exactly what Paul is also referring to here. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So what am I getting at? There is an old life that has now passed away. That old life is gone forever when Christ enters in. And what you and I need to live in and should be living in and are living in is this new life, this realm of the Spirit of God. You see, at salvation, the Bible teaches us very clearly that at salvation, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. He moves inside of every believer. For further proof of that, look back at Acts chapter 2. You don't have to turn to it this minute, but when the Apostle Peter was preaching that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said that if they believe on Christ, that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't say that they'd speak with tongues and that they'd do these great and mighty wonders, but he did say that the Holy Ghost would come to live within them. And that's exactly what he did, what he does at salvation. So when he comes to live inside of us, he comes and he takes up his residence there. He takes up his abode there. And he is now the master of the house. And so I can honestly say that what Paul is commanding us to do by the power of the Spirit of God in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 is yield up to him as the master of the house. In other words, don't try to confine the Holy Spirit to a room in the house because he's the master of the house. You know, as a young person, and I see this now, I saw it with myself and I see it now with my kids. The older we get, of course, as we become young adults, we have our own room in the house. I remember when I was at that age, when I was now a young adult and I was gathering more and more things to myself, tools and things that I needed, and sometimes those tools would end up in the oddest place, in my bedroom. I might have a quart of oil sitting on the dresser, or an oil filter wrench on the dresser. Why? Because that was my space in that house. But picture, if you will, now that we no longer are confined to that one space in the house, but the whole house is ours. And I believe that gives us a good picture of what Paul is talking about here when he is saying to you, yes, the Holy Spirit has come and lives on the inside of you at conversion. Give Him the whole house. Walk in fellowship with Him. He's the master of the house. Yield the whole of your being, the whole house, give it to Him. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's not just something for the spiritually elite. That's for every Christian, is to be yielding daily to the Holy Ghost, giving Him the house, giving Him full possession, full reign, full control of all things that relate to our lives every single day. And there is a good picture of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, as it's depicted right here. It is yielding to His control, following His direction. And you and I cannot yield to His control and follow His direction if our minds are off on other things. We all have life to deal with. We all have houses to paint, packages to deliver, trees to cut down, all those kind of things. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is, when we fill our minds and fill our lives with other things that we think are important and neglect the Word of God, neglect our fellowship with God the Holy Ghost through prayer, through seeking His will, through walking with Him, then we're not being filled as we ought to be. We're not walking, if you will, under the control of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit as we ought to. Now, I showed you last week at the end of the message that in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, he makes a very similar command to this one of where he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, admonishing one another, teaching one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I told you that I believe that that is equivalent to the same command here of being filled with the Spirit, because the Word of God came by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And anything that God has to say to you and to me, He's going to begin right there at His Word. And He will never say anything that will contradict His Word. So if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, then get full up with the Word of God. Let the Scriptures occupy your mind. Let it occupy who you are. Let it fill your thinking to the point where you think Scripture and you let God speak to you through the Scripture, and an open communication flow between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, between you and God the Father, between you and the Holy Spirit. That's the goal and the aim of our lives. That's where each of us ought to be day by day. And that is, I believe, what Paul is exhorting us to do here. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell richly in you. Let me give you another one that I believe is a similar command and very stated in a little different way. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I believe, again, he is being very practical and he is stating it in a very practical way. Now, you have to understand that as you and I read these epistles, God the Holy Ghost has tailored the message that is given in these epistles to the need of those to whom it was written. In Galatia, the battle was over the legalism of Judaism versus the liberty in Christ. And there was a constant struggle. Do we urge people to live under the law? Or do we urge people toward the freedom of the Spirit? In other words, the freedom of the Spirit is not freedom to sin, not in any way, shape, or form. However, you and I both know that we can get so bound down by legalism in an attempt to live for God that it will completely stifle us and completely bind us up to where we are telling everybody how they ought to do this, how they ought to do that. And we are lacking that liberty of doing things because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Legalism can kill a church and it can kill a Christian influence quicker than anything you and I know of. And what Paul was doing here was he was exhorting these Galatians. He said, you didn't get saved by keeping the law, and you're not going to go on to perfection and sanctification by keeping the law, but rather by walking in the Spirit. As you and I walk in the Spirit, seeking to please God day by day, and as we are filled with the Word of God day by day, then look over with me in Galatians chapter 5, start with verse 16. It's kind of in the middle of a thought, but let's just jump right in there. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In other words, there is a constant battle, and he describes it really good right here in verse 17. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." There's a battle going on between the flesh man that you and I have had since birth and this new principle of the Spirit of God living within us, now giving us a quickened spirit in the Holy Ghost. There's a war that's constantly going on. And I don't know about you, but I feel it constantly. I do. I feel the pressure and the pull from what I know to be good and what I know to be right to the things that I know are not right and yet have some attraction to my flesh man. And I think if we're all honest tonight, we have to confess that that is true. There's a tug of war going on. And there are some times when this tug of war feels like that it's going to just rip me in half. And we've either got to let go of one or the other, or we're going to get split right down the middle. That's the way it feels sometimes. So Paul says there's this war going on, this flesh man against the Spirit of God within us and the principle that rules now within us. And he said, these are so contrary the one to the other that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul, even back there in Romans, talked about the fact that when he would do good, evil is present with him. You ever felt that? I have. Let's just take something very simple. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock and I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to get that grass cut. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You have a whole litany of all these things that you're going to do. Clock goes off at 5 o'clock and you're like, I don't think I want to get up right now. That's just a ready example, but I think all of us can relate to that. We've been there. Because within each one of us, if you will, gravity is constantly pulling us down. I'm feeling a little more gravity all the time here, the older I get. But gravity, if you will, spiritually speaking, is constantly pulling us down. Things that are in motion tend to remain in motion, while things that are not in motion tend to remain at rest. And that's the way it is with us, this flesh man that hangs about us like a dead corpse. That's how Paul described it in Romans. He said, "Oh, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that's the way it is with us. And we're constantly in this warfare, this tug of war between flesh man and spirit man. And it binds us up so much sometimes that we cannot even accomplish a single thing. I tell you, I got great things in my mind that I want to do. I tell my wife sometimes when I price jobs that I do it like I'm Superman, and then I do the job like I'm Clark Kent. Because it never works out. I never can fly around and speed around and do all those things that I was planning on doing exactly how I planned on doing it. You know, if you get this just right and that just right, and you hit it just right, and you do it all just right, it never goes just right. It never works that way. So you and I are constantly in this struggle. And Paul says, the answer to that struggle is if you and I, verse 18, are led by the Spirit. You have trouble with your flesh, getting angry, maybe being lustful, maybe being greedy, maybe being jealous. If you want to combat those things that are at work in your life, yield to the Holy Ghost. What he's saying to you right there. Get in the Word of God. Find out what God's Word says. Pray. See how God's been putting this together for us? Pray. Seek the face of God. Yield to the Holy Ghost. And when you and I begin to do that, we get victory over the flesh. I think sometimes we think about it in the wrong way. We think, if I could get this battle with my flesh over with, then I could get close to God. And that's exactly backwards. The Lord says, get close to me, and I'll help you to win that battle over the flesh. Walk with me, be led by the Spirit, and I will give you victory over those things that you're battling with. Those things that come against your mind day by day, whatever it is, I won't go through the list again, but those things that we struggle with, if we are walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, doing what God says, yielding up to the Holy Ghost. Now, maybe when you and I get that tendency to lose our temper, to fly off the handle, maybe we ought to pull up and say, what would Jesus do? Holy Ghost within me, help me to do what Christ would do instead of what I would naturally do. You see, every sin that we sin, every temptation that we yield to, there always comes a point of crisis where we will decide which side of the line we're going to step on. Which side? It may come that fast. It may happen before you realize it. Which side of the line are you and I going to walk on? Are we going to walk on the flesh side of the line and do whatever the natural man would do? Or are we going to deliberately step over onto the Spirit side of that line and say, I am a newborn child of God. I yield to the Holy Ghost. I will not allow myself to follow what feels natural to me right now. That's a battle that each of us have to deal with day by day. Paul goes through and he gives us a litany here and lists. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's he saying? There is a way of life that seems right to the old man, and the world is full of that way of life. But, the next verse, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And catch this in verse 25 here. I've given you how Paul said in Romans that we have stepped out of the realm of the flesh. We now live in the realm of the Spirit. If you live in the realm of the Spirit, verse 25, then walk in the Spirit. There again, that's the practicality of the same command of Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit. Yield to the direction of the Holy Ghost in your life. Live according to how He would have us to live. See, it's very practical. It's very rubber hit the road, down to earth. And I believe God would have us to understand that. Again, because you and I have to deal with life on a daily basis. And if you're like me, life comes flying at you faster than you can swing at it. I mean, faster than you and I can catch it. It seems like you're stuck in the batting cage and the machine has just gone crazy. And it's spitting out balls faster than you can swing the bat. And that's the way it seems to be. But in the midst of the chaos of this world, God has ordained that you and I can walk in spiritual victory by yielding constantly to the Holy Ghost. And let me just say this to you. And I know I'm kind of shooting from the hip tonight, but let me just say this to you. This is not a seat of the pants kind of living. This is the kind of living that is deliberate and intentional, that takes the preparation of the heart. So I believe we can put a good definition on Paul's words there of be filled with the Spirit by saying that it is a deliberate, intentional following and yielding to the Holy Ghost in everyday life and living. It's a deliberate and intentional yielding to the leadership of the Holy Ghost in everyday living. That's where God wants all of us to be. Yield to Him. Submit yourself to Him. Be filled with Him, with the knowledge of His will through the Word of God. That means that you and I need to exercise ourselves daily unto prayer, daily unto seeking God, daily unto doing the things of God as He'd have us to do. It's something that you and I are to be doing on a daily basis. God has called us to that. God has brought us to that place where we're supposed to be maturing in Christ and walking with Him and living in Him. And that's the way that our witness will be effective to this world. There's really no heroes in the Christian faith as far as doing great things. It's just ordinary people living out their faith on a daily basis. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples, "You shall be witnesses." He did not say, "You shall go out and witness." He said, "You are my witnesses." You have to be before you can do. Yes, there comes those times where we share our faith with someone and we give the gospel to them, and God may give fruit to that gospel message and quicken that heart and bring them to faith. But you are the witness. I am the witness. Because if they see that our lives as we live them out on a daily basis are not bearing the kind of fruit that God would have them to bear, then our witness is killed right there. They may not know why, but they may say within themselves, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want to be one. I've seen it happen. I believe you have too. So God has called us to live a life of faith and obedience to the will of God, walking in step with the Spirit. If you and I live in the Spirit, if we've been saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's also follow the course and the direction of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just give you a couple of more things, and I'm going to be brief tonight, but let me just give you a couple of more things that I think need to be said, and Lord willing, we'll come back and hit these again at some later time. But I believe that we have to be discerning somewhat about the command here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And I say this by way of helping us to understand the context of this verse. We've looked at it in light of Ephesians, but in light of the entire doctrinal scheme of the Scriptures. Many people want to go back to Acts chapter 2, and they want to say, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. The Bible says that there was a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And oftentimes people will confuse that one-time work of God on the day of Pentecost and will say that each of us need to be seeking day by day to live in that kind of a state, speaking in tongues, working miracles, doing all these things. And in fact, they've reduced it down to a science and said, you will know when you are filled with the Holy Ghost because you will speak with tongues. Really, as the pattern is understood in the book of Acts, let's understand that God was doing a work right there that was to establish something, and He was inaugurating and initiating the work of God in this age by a miraculous outpouring. And the day of Pentecost has fully come, and it is not necessarily to be repeated at any point in history. And a lot of people have fallen prey to the thinking, and I do not claim to be the expert. I do not stand up here putting one person's opinion down and putting mine up. I simply say to you that if we understand the context of the book of Acts, then I believe we can be kept from that error and from that mistake, and we can come to understand that God has a particular way that He had a particular way that He was doing things in Acts that would manifest to the world and to all who were watching, particularly to the Jewish people, but to all of us as we look back in history. And He was showing us that this was His definite and distinct work that was being initiated at that particular time. And those signs and miracles and wonders and the gift of tongues that He gave then were to show and give evidence to the fact that God was doing this new thing. And let me just say this, that was not intended to be the pattern for how it would be throughout the ages until Christ returned. I believe that that can be well established, and I honestly, having work today and yesterday, I don't have the energy to go there right now, so I'm going to cut short here in just a moment. But I do believe that the doctrine throughout the epistles of the New Testament does not back that up. And it does not uphold for us, because no place in the Scriptures do you find the Apostle Paul saying, seek to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, seek to speak with tongues, seek the gifts, etc. You don't find him saying that. You don't find any apostle saying that. In fact, that is an error that has accumulated over a number of years. Again, I will just mention to you that someone back in history, a well-respected head of his denomination, part of that began back there when he made a difference between entering into perfect love in Christ versus salvation. And it sort of snowballed from there and has gotten a lot of momentum until now. In our day and age, we have this full-blown charismatic movement that insists that if a person is truly full of the Holy Ghost, that they will speak with tongues, that they will do signs and wonders, and they will do all these things. That was what God intended for Acts. Again, when he inaugurated the church, when he brought in the Holy Ghost and he said, this is my work, Paul made it clear. And I'll close with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I believe it's along about verse 13, Paul said, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all and in you all, etc. And so he said there that there's one baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at salvation. When you and I are baptized by the Holy Ghost into Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in that sense, is not the same as being filled with the Spirit. And I say that again, I mean no offense to anyone who sees them as the same, but I believe doctrinally you'll make great error if you see those two as the same thing. And it can lead you astray in a heartbeat to the point where confusion will abound, rather than understanding that salvation is a work of grace that God does in the heart. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at that point where you are sealed by the Spirit of God as a member of the family of God, and forever will have the Spirit of God living within you from then on. He once he comes, will never depart, Jesus said. And so God would have us to know that we are baptized into the Spirit at salvation. And this filling of the Spirit that Paul is talking about there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 is that part of life where we are constantly yielding up to the leadership, the influence of the Holy Ghost, based upon the Word of God, walking in fellowship with Him as we're supposed to be doing day by day. Now, I know that was somewhat scattered, and I hope that you'll forgive me for that, but I hope that maybe something, some nugget of truth might have helped you and touched your heart out of that. And Lord willing, in the days ahead, we'll try to give some more clarity to some of those thoughts and put some of the pieces together. I do believe this, and I'll say this and then I'll sit down. I do believe that the blessing of living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life is something that God wants for every one of His children. He wants us to live in that realm of fellowship with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. He wants us to live there. He wants us to know the joy of it. He wants us to know the power of it and the blessings of it. And I believe God has some great things in store for us. Father, I pray that You'll take Your Word, bless it tonight. Lord, forgive me for being so scattered out and so shooting from the hip, etc. But I pray, God, that You'll help us to receive something that will do us some good tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.